So we have learned already about the mitzvah of Maaser, and when you're allowed to take more than Maaser, when it's positive, take a fifth, and when you're even allowed to take more than a fifth. And we basically said it's only a minig. It's not a halacha that you must do it. It's something that obviously is positive to do under most circumstances. There are times when it's not positive because of your situation. And then, so for all practical purposes, okay, I gave you an etzah last time of if you understand it's only a minig, how to be makabel that minig if you're not a rich person to be able to handle it, still give miser, and still it shouldn't be oppressive. Because of that, we pretty much are mako. Whenever there's a shaila, whether this is you're responsible to pay miser or not, can you use this for miser? In most situations where it's possible to be lenient, we're lenient. That's the derech of horah here. Here in Matidio, but what's it called that I've recabled from that? Since if it would be a strict halacha. So then, wherever there's a machlokas or whatever, you have to go to the stricter side. But since only a minig, and we encourage people to mekabel that minig b'li neder, then if there's leniencies of when you have to take miser, what you could use miser for, we're more note, if you want to be extra special, you can go according to the more strict side. But lahalacha, we pretty much tell people that you can be mekel almost in every situation where there's two opinions, to be mekel like the more lenient opinion. So now we're going to discuss that. You'll see consistently that I'm going to tell you there's an opinion like this and like this. The hanhaga is to, if you want, and you need to be go according to the lenient opinion. Example. How do you take Maaser? So basically it says the first year, right? Person gets married, let's say. So they start, until then they don't have anything of their own, okay? They marry, they start to have their own finances or whatever. So you take miser off your what the principal that you have right off the bat, 10% off the principal of your earnings, whatever. We'll see what if it's furniture, things like that, which could be not. But money, you have money, you get money, you earn money. The first you take off what's it called 10% of your principal. Then you have money that you earn, right? Your money earns money. You invest it, you put it in the bank, whatever, and it has now interest. So you don't have to take off from the principal again. You took off 10% from the principal. Now, anything that your money generates and earns, right, will make it year by year. We'll see if that's the case, but year by year. So at the end of the year, right, you take off miser from the profits that didn't exist before. So, for instance, you started out, let's say, with $1,000, right, that you had now to start your family life off with. You have $1,000. So you take off $100, that's miser. Okay, now you have $900 left. That $900 you invested, and you made, what's it called, from the $900, you made now $1,500. So the original $900, you don't have to take miser anymore. But the $600 profit, now that's the profit for them. That profit was generated, you have to take miser from that. So you take now $60 from the $600 as miser. But you don't take again every year from the principal, only from the earnings. What's considered earnings and what's considered principal, that's what we're going to discuss now, partially. Okay. And it includes even presents that are given to you. Okay, we'll see if that means only monetary presents or even presents that are not monetary things. Somebody gave you a refrigerator, whatever. Do you have to take the value of how much that refrigerator is worth and take a tenth and give it to stock? Right. See, 1 second. You inherited money. You have to take a miser from Yerusha. Okay. So now we'll go into some of the things. What happens? Let's start with monies. Okay, then we'll talk about objects. But right now we're talking about money. Money that you have as income. Income can come many ways. For instance, you found metziah. You found money. And you don't have to return it. Okay? So it's your money. Now, so that's an income. So lechora, if you find money, if you find, you know, an object, we'll see, maybe you don't have to take off ma'aser. But if you find money, find $1,000. And there's no simanim, it's in a place where mostly goyim or whatever, you're allowed to keep it. You don't have to start looking for the person. There's no way of identifying it. It's your money. So that's for sure. You have to take off ma'aser from that, from mitzvah. That's income. Right? It's not an income you worked for, but it's an income that you got. So there, really, you take off ma'aser from that mitzvah. What happens, though, if you have to return it? So then, obviously, you don't have to take off ma'aser before you return. It's not yours. Right? You're just holding it as a bikkudin for somebody else, and you found the person. You gave back the money. Or if you didn't find the person, you can't use the money, so then you surely don't have to take off ma'aser. What would be, though, in the following case? You found the money, and you really don't have to return it to the person. Okay? But under certain circumstances, you're allowed to return it to him with the Meshuras Hadir. Okay, for instance, you know for sure this person lost it, but he gave up hope of finding it. There were witnesses that heard him say he gave up hope. So then the halacha is you're not required to return it. Right? If the person is poor, then it's proper to return it to him. Right? A person lost $1,000, okay, in a wallet. And you know it's his, right? He has his credit cards in it or whatever, but he's given up hope on finding it, then he loses ownership, and you don't have to return it. You can keep the whole thing. Okay? So now, though, you want to be a nice guy, and you want to give him back the money, because you know it's his, right? And you want to give him a present. So now there's a way of saying, well, look, you really, that's your money. You want to give him a present that's very nice, but you had an income of $1,000. You have to take off $100 now and give it to Maisa, because it was your money. You want to give him a present? Because, hey, that's your business. But that's still an income. Okay? So some people hold that if the person is, what's it called, is poor, and you're giving it back as to a poor person, that in itself is like ma'aser. So you don't think of another ma'aser there, but just giving it back is enough. Some people hold, though, some opinions hold, that the person's rich, you don't have to give it back to him. And if you give it back to him, you're not giving tzedakah, that's for sure. The guy's a rich man. But you still feel that, you know, you want to give it back to him. You don't want to keep somebody else's money, even though it's permissible to keep it. But you knew it was his money, so you want to give it back to him. Then you have to take off ma'aser of $100 and give it to ma'aser, even though you're giving this person back the entire $1,000. But you're giving him a present. So you had an income, and you decided what to do with your income, to give it to somebody as a present. That doesn't take away your chiyuv of ma'aser. That's a second opinion. So the first opinion is, if the person's poor, what's it called, you don't have to, right? But if he's rich, you do. And the other opinion, the more lenient opinion, is that if you're going to give it back, it's like you never had it, and therefore you don't have to take up ma'aser from it at all. And like we said, halachically, if you should find $1,000, and you don't have to return it, but you decide to return it, even to a rich person, you don't have to take up ma'aser from it. Okay, because there is such an opinion that holds that you don't have to, and under our circumstances, you could be mako and not take ma'aser if you want to, because it's right. But halacha, if you can't, you don't want to, you can't afford it, whatever, you need that money, and the Rebbeinu gave you this mitzvah, you can rely on the more lenient opinion. The more lenient opinion happens to be Rebbe Yosha, but in any case, you can rely on it. But there's others, Rav Shlomo Zalman, you have to return it, whatever. You have to take up ma'aser.
Doesn't
okay.
If you
made
a
kenyan? Well, no, it doesn't make a difference. Maybe we made a kenyan. You picked it up. It's yours. No, it's yours.
Pick it up. You have in mind not to be kenyan because you thought you might have to return it. Once you realize what it is, you also have in mind to return it. You never had in mind ever to be kenyan.
Could be. If you didn't find it, then it's yours. But if you picked it up, it's yours. Unless you picked it up and you had all this in mind, could be. Most people, they pick it up and then they try to find out if they have a chiyuv to return it or not. Once they picked it up, it's theirs if they don't have a chiyuv to return it. But if you had this all this in mind, yeah, and you intended, I'm going to have to give it back to the person, never intended to be yours, then for sure you're not taking ma'aser. Yeah. Okay. Somebody gives you a present, okay, of money. So, under normal circumstances, somebody stam gives you a present of money, you have to take up ma'aser. That's an income. Right. However, we'll speak about next time if somebody gives you a present that's not money, whether you have to take off from the value of the present ma'aser. Okay, That's a different question. Right now we're talking about money. Okay, so now the question is like this, though. What did the person give you the present for? If the person gave you the present to use for anything you want, okay, then what's it called? You have to take off Maaser, according to most opinions, and that's what you should do. What happens if the person gave you the money and earmarked it for something specific? He wants to pay your rent. So he gave you the money to pay the rent, right? So in that respect, it never really became your money. It just took off a debt that you had, right? It was earmarked for something specific. In those situations, there's difference of opinion. You can rely on the leniency that somebody gave you money specifically, earmarked for a specific purpose, right? To be used for food, to be used for rent money, whatever it may be, right? Then that money really was never yours. That money was, that person basically paid your bill. Then you don't have to take off, you don't have to take off Maaser. Okay.
Like a kid gets a check from a grandparent for a birthday,
right.
Is that called specific?
Right. No. So if their grandparent said, I want you to go and get a suit with that money, then the what you call, you don't take off Maaser from it. If the grandparent said, here's your money, it's yours, do what you want with it, then you should take off Maaser. Okay.
There's a case where it can be partially earmarked. You can say it's given, use it for certain type of expenses. You can choose what kind of expenses you want to use it for.
Yeah, but basically it's not yours to use whatever you want, right? So it's yours basically to use for X, Y, or Z. It doesn't make a difference if it's only X or only Y. If it's only all X, Y, and Z, that's also called earmarked. You don't have to think of Maaser than anything. If you... part of it you used for that thing, and then part was left over, and now you can use that part that was left over, or the part that was left over, you should take off Maaser. Okay. Okay. That's on this part. What happens if you... You got tzedakah money, right? They gave you tzedakah money. You're having a chasana, you went to a gemach or whatever, where all these organizations, they gave you money for towards the chasana. So then, some people hold that even from money that you take from tzedakah, you have to take off Maaser from. And others hold no, since it's earmarked usually for chasana expenses or something like that, or for buying necessities, and the reason you got it is because you don't have the money on your own, then you don't have to take off Maaser off of that. Okay. Another example of things that, Somebody had something stolen from them. Money. Again, all this is money. Faithful is a different story. You had money, an amount of money stolen from you, and you gave up hope on it, so the person didn't really have to return it. And returned it anyway. They found the ganav and you got it back. But not halachically, it wasn't yours anymore. So that's called you have to take off Maaser from that. Right? Because it wasn't, if it was at some point, you're getting now a present from somebody who didn't have to return it to you. Or, somebody owed you money. And you gave up on you were mochel it. Right? And you gave up on ever collecting it. And the person then won the lottery and he paid you what he owes you. Never expect it. You have to take off Maaser from that money that you're getting back the loan. Normally, somebody pays you back a loan, you have to take off Maaser. It's your money. Right? You probably took Maaser off it.
You have to Maaser the money you're finally getting back.
Right. Because that, in that kind of situation, not if you never gave up on the loan. You never gave up the loan, never remoked the person, and you're just waiting for your money back, then you have to take off Maaser on your money again. But now it's not your money. Really, you have to tell the person, you know, you don't have to return it. I gave up on the loan, I was mochel you, so it's your money. The person says, no, I feel bad, I want to give it to you anyway, he's giving you a present. Yeah.
So what if it's a couple, and one mochel'd and gave up, and the other one didn't?
Depends whose money it legally is. usually we say it's the husband's money, there are exceptions. Or we say that they share the money equally, and then lechora, if two shutfin have something, One can't be mochel it without the rishus of the other one. So then it's not mochel. Okay. Well, that's to do with money things. Next week we'll speak a little bit more about what happens with presents that are not money, right? And also a little bit more about this earmarked. When is it called earmarked and when is it not called earmarked? When is the money that's given to you earmarked for a specific thing and you don't have to take miser? And when, and also another thing, if the person who's giving you the money is giving you from his miser money, or he's giving you from his regular money, when do you have to take off miser or not? That's also, that would.